For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
O'Neal deep in the post, lots of contact there. Oh, what a block by Wallace! What a jump ball!
Pistons down 4, 12-8, 7-38 to play in the first half. Burst from Rodney, stuck into the rim! Count up, baby, and a foul!
Reggie inside for Andre, and a dynamite dunk!
Pistons fans, hello and welcome to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. Brendan Johnson, Aaron Johnson, Ryan Pay, all here with you talking about Pistons basketball. And the boys are back. The Pistons coming fresh off a 34-point win over the San Antonio Spurs, 132-98 that final score. Their seventh win of the regular season, improving them to 7-13. If that doesn't have you boys juiced, I mean, I don't know what's going to get you fired up here today. What's going on, boys?
Yeah, I mean, Brendan, you really got the juice today.
Brendan's excited. Surprised. My goodness.
Guess we're forgetting about the two losses to the Charlotte Hornets. But okay. Okay, wow, Brendan.
A lot of energy. Wasn't ready for it.
7-13.
But I will say this. Quick question. How many votes does Christian Wood get for MVP?
Sekou has my vote for MVP. Oh. Did you see those buckets? Come
buckets.
On.
Spin move, left hand
hey,
up and under.
I'm loyal to Christian Wood. He's got my vote.
I mean, at what point do we start talking about All-Star game? Seriously.
Jesus.
I'm all for it.
My two co-hosts are coming with a different ball game.
Having
tonight.
A little fun before we start really going to town.
And getting all depressed that this team is still 6 games under 500. And I believe the 10 or 11 seed in the Eastern Conference. And they've lost 2 games recently to Charlotte, which they could have won both of.
Should have won both of.
And it's just, yeah. So, you know, I'll take the energy that I brought, the excitement I brought, and I'll temper it with reality. And that is, this is still a 7-13 ball club. But overall, Detroit, they show a flash of, hey, maybe there's some positive things to come. And I've got some more thoughts on the San Antonio game. But first, Aaron, you mentioned Christian Wood, 28 points, a career high for him. Pretty nice game. Sekou Doumbouya comes in, gets his first NBA buckets of his career, which was pretty cool to see. And, I mean, even a guy like Bruce Brown, I think he had 13-7. Luke Kennard had a nice ball game. I mean, overall, a pretty just solid performance for Detroit and a much-needed home win.
I mean, hey, man, Christian Wood's nice, but could you imagine what Joe Johnson would be giving to this squad right now? God, I mean, I know we all kind of agreed, why was that a conversation? Why are they contemplating giving Joe Johnson a roster spot over Christian Wood? And night in and night out, Christian Wood makes that a much more laughable debate. In 22 minutes tonight, he scored 28 points, had 10 rebounds, 2 assists, a block, and a steal on 11 of 14 shooting from the field, 78.6% shooting from the field, 100% from the three-point line, and he knocked down 2 of his 3 three-pointers. In 22 minutes, he did all of that. He was just phenomenal. He stuffs the stat sheet anytime he checks into the game. He's made strides defensively after starting the season off with, you know, definitely some lapses on that side of the floor, but he's quelled some of those. He's playing better on that end, and offensively, he just finds ways to contribute. Even when the Pistons aren't running sets for him. He's getting those offensive rebounds. He's finishing out of the pick and roll. He's hitting those three-pointers when they come to him. He just makes plays. I mean, he had three offensive rebounds tonight. The only guy that had more was Andre Drummond, who, God, he should. He's the best rebounder in the league. But Christian Wood has just been so effective, so efficient, so productive in his minutes. He's really been a huge, huge help to the Pistons. And I tweeted this during the game, but he needs to be considered as part of the Pistons' young core. Whether you think it's, you know, Luke, Sekou,
oh, I thought you tweeted Bruce, he needed to be a part of the All-Star voting coming up pretty soon.
That goes without saying. But when you're talking about this young core, Luke, Bruce, Sekou, you know, and then you kind of don't know who else belongs in the mix. Does Fee get it? Does Khyree Thomas still have some sort of potential with the Pistons? Christian Wood needs to be right up there with Luke, with Sekou, with Bruce, because he's a guy that needs to be around for the long haul. Looking at the numbers he's producing, looking at his age, just turned 24 years old, can play the four, the five, make shots from the outside, can run the pick and roll, rebounds the basketball on both sides of the floor, and alter shots at the rim. What else can you want from a young big? I've just been absolutely impressed by him. He's definitely outperformed any expectations that I had for him so far this year. He's just been phenomenal.
All right. One thing, but really a couple things. I really want to toot my own horn here and Brendan's with this whole Christian Wood saga. Before the season started, were Brendan and I worried at all that Joe Johnson was going to be on this roster above Christian Wood?
No.
Did we say if Joe Johnson did make the roster, it would not be at the expense of Christian Wood? Yes. So Joe Johnson doesn't make the roster, and Christian Wood's there. We didn't have a panic bone in our body about it.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing, there was absolute panic about the minutes Thon was putting up. What is something that was said immediately when Thon was getting serious minutes? Let him play his way out of the rotation, because it's going to happen. And everyone was freaking out. Game one, game two, game three. Here's Thon.
Fire Dwayne Casey. Get rid of him.
Why not Christian Wood? This is malpractice. Why isn't Christian Wood in?
Wow. Wow. I know that was at me.
That's a shot at
me. That was definitely at me. That's a shot at malpractice.
That is a shot.
Wow. We're doing this.
Brought the first round knockouts.
Yes.
The first round knockouts. AirPod. This is a 6-minute pod. It's over. KO'd. Deontay Wilder, just sweat flying from your head. Over. Heavyweight fight. Done. But anyway.
Ding, ding, ding.
But that's not just Aaron. That's literally everyone.
Yeah.
Game one, game two, game three. Why is Thon still playing? He has to play his way out of the rotation. It's a locker room thing. It's a professional thing. He's not just going to go to a guy on a non-guaranteed contract and just give him the minutes. When a guy who's been here and been putting the work in longer than him on a guaranteed contract, Thon just has to play his way out. It's just going to take a little time. 7, 8, 9. Why is Thon still in there? Why? It takes some time. And here we are. The last, three games now. It's been Christian Wood and not Thon.
Yep.
And Christian Wood has cemented himself as the guy. It just took some time.
And
this is the NBA. You are managing egos as a head coach. Even though Thon probably doesn't have much of an ego, you are managing personalities and egos and grown-ass men. These aren't kids who can just be like, put little Timmy at the end of the bench, it's done. No. These are grown men in their professional lives. There is a pattern, a protocol you have to follow. And that is what Dwayne Casey did. He gave Thon every opportunity, like we discussed, and Thon played himself right out of the rotation. So I just wanted to toot my own horn and Brendan's horn on this situation. Because look at Christian Wood now. The guy is a walking bucket. The guy gets the basket with ease. Aaron, don't cut me off.
Yeah,
bro.
Just let him go. Let him go.
Where is your head? Use your head.
You're going to come at me like that. All I'm going to say is after that vicious, vile campaign attack on me and my camp, all I have to say is Who cares?
No, get out of here. My, hey, Ryan, drop the mic. No, dude. So, drop the mic. So, you're done. I'm going to put my hand right over to this.
So, he's out. Put your hand on my mouth.
So, here's the thing.
Jesus. So we're going to have a fight break out in the studio. Bonmaker, no future with the Pistons. He's on an expiring contract. Take that process. Throw it out the window when you have a player as talented as Christian Wood.
So, here's the thing.
You're an idiot.
So, here's the thing. Palace of Pistons is looking for a new co-host and a new leader. Send your resumes in to palaceofpistons.com or whatever. I don't even know what our go-to
is. Just send it to at Ryan Payer, at Media Brenda. Just DM us.
We're looking for a new leader and a new co-host as well. So, Aaron, you can get up and get out of here.
Yeah, your camp.
The studio no longer needs you.
Your camp. Yeah.
The camp knows your that camp. They were always right.
The Aaron stance won't even defend him on this.
You have to manage the ego just DM and protect Thon Maker. Just DM us.
Mike Anguiano, where are you at, bro? We need a new leader, Mike. I'm calling you out by name, Mike.
You're done, dude.
This insurgence is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
But anyway.
Oh, my God.
Back to the topic.
We were right on this, and Aaron was
right. Thon was going to play his way out. It's not even about personal attacks anymore. I just had to get that shot in. That's to everyone, though.
Well, shit, I know I'll be crying myself to sleep now.
I know he is. Gone. Done. But no, for real. Thon just had to play his way out of the rotation, and he did. And look at what Christian Wood's doing with it.
Absolutely.
He took his opportunity, and he's run with it. It's going to be Christian Wood the rest of the way. And when Aaron says Thon does not have a future with his team, it's Christian Wood's. It's not Thon's anymore.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
There it is.
So
be excited about Christian Wood, because Aaron's also right that he has to be part of the young core. We've talked about this off-air before, and I've said, really, for me, Luke and Sekou, and maybe Bruce. After that, who knows? You're in the wilderness. No, Bruce Brown's proven that he's definitely there for sure. That was the guy I was leaning for, yes, anyway, but you know, you just wanted to see it proven more. And now Christian Wood, absolutely has to be a part of it going forward.
So little did we know the Pistons were going to tank, trade away to get picks, and it's going to be Bruce, Luke Kennard, Sekou, Christian Wood, Anthony Edwards, the future starting five.
Number one on my big board.
This guy's averaging 45 a game. Jeez.
Just saying.
Talk about a walking bucket. My goodness.
I love it. I think that's the Pistons' direction.
If the Pistons hit the reset button and got that, oh, I'd be in heaven. But like we discussed, he's going to Golden State. That he just played his part. They played their part. We already discussed that. He's going to Golden State.
It's so sad, but so true.
We discussed that.
God, for real.
Christian Wood is part of the young core. How has no team... Like, I get he's getting a little bit... He's not old. He's only 24, but he's matured more and his game's developed. I get it. But how is a team, especially like the Pelicans, how did they not see this?
Right.
Especially when he put up whatever it was, 17, 18, and 8, whatever it was last year. I know it was the final 10 games.
I mean, are people really looking at it as, hey, he was so poor defensively that they couldn't just give him a chance? Like, I mean, when you have a guy that could score at that level, you find a way to get by and teach that defensive scheme over time. He can learn how to play defense.
He's got his touch is unbelievable. His shooting touch, incredible. And he's so long and athletic that it's just easy for him to score. He's just one of those guys. Yeah. It's unbelievable. I can't believe a team didn't see this.
Is Wood 6'10"?
6'11"? Yeah, 6'10". He's 6'10"? A combo big. He can play the 4 or the 5.
So, I mean, this is the positive part of the pod, how great Christian Wood's been.
Yeah.
And now that he's a rotation guy now. And it's awesome, and he's a walking bucket, and he should be absolutely part of the future.
Can I bring up something? I want to change directions here. I want to stick with this win over San Antonio, though. And we saw a different style of play from Blake Griffin. Blake sitting back is more of a facilitator. Sitting back is more of a just kept the ball moving. You didn't see as much iso ball, as many short corner post-ups, as many perimeter isolations. And I really think that will help the Pistons overall if you see that style of play more from Blake. If you see more facilitating, spread the ball, take what's given to him instead of forcing the issue. Like, it's fun watching Blake go for 28 points, 35 points. But most of the time when he does that, it's because he forced the issue. And
it's also because had to, because last year the Pistons didn't have that outside
talent.
Which
is true. So I really hope to see going forward with the talent the Pistons have that, you know, if Tony Snell can continue to shoot the ball well from the perimeter, you have Luke Kennard. If a guy like Speed can come in and give you some valuable minutes off the bench and stroke it from the arc, hopefully Blake can play a little bit more of a facilitator and then still have that ability of put the ball on the deck, take it to the cup, hit those kick-out threes, and really maybe maximize the value he can have with this young core around him.
I think that Blake Griffin is going to eventually start playing better. He's definitely had his struggles since his debut this season. He's not been the Blake Griffin that he was last year. And I don't know if he'll return to that Blake Griffin that he was last year, but I definitely expect him to pick it up a little bit more. And that doesn't mean that he has to just take the game over, take the offense over, and it needs to be Blake ball. But he needs to start shooting better. He needs to stop turning the ball over. And those are two big things for him right now that he's struggled with. We know he can pass the basketball. We know he can find other ways to get involved. And I think when Blake Griffin is kind of doing some of those other things outside of scoring, it helps other players get involved, build a rhythm, build a consistency within the offense. I mean, the big question going into the season was, can Luke Kennard and Blake Griffin be on the floor together? And it took some games, but Luke has been able to be on the floor with Blake Griffin and be the Luke Kennard that he started the season playing as. I mean, his last 3-4 games, he's been phenomenal. 20 points, you know, shooting the ball really well. The playmaking that Kennard has shown he's capable of, the growth he's shown in that regard, even though we've already known he can do that, but what he's done this year to, you know, back up that belief and back up that style of play with Blake Griffin on the floor makes things a whole lot easier for the Pistons than turning to Griffin and saying, we need you to go get a bucket. Because it's not going to be for 35 minutes on the floor, Blake, go take the ball to the basket, step back and hit a three. It's going to be Blake, you can go out there and you're going to be an option now. You're not just going to be the guy because Lukin is a 20-point-per-game scorer. Langston's shooting a hot ball, has shot a hot ball throughout the season. Bruce Brown has become a respectable player from the three-point line, and he's getting to the cup.
Which is
two
huge.
Big areas that he needed to improve on.
The fact that Bruce is just willing to shoot the ball is huge.
Yeah. And
I'm just getting over that mental block.
Yeah.
So.
And then you have another knockdown shooter in Tony Snell. The Pistons are starting to experiment more with the Blake Griffin and Christian Wood lineups. That's another guy that could potentially be on the outside.
Which
he's a rim runner.
I love that athleticism. I love that offense you can get from both the 4 and 5 spot, the way they can both spread the floor and play in the post. That's exciting.
That's the thing. When you have two guys, because Blake's not what he was when he was 23, obviously. He plays closer to the rim. Of course he stretches out to the three. But when you've just got Andre hanging around the rim and Blake's game's at this point is kind of back down to get to the rim, it clogs it up a bit. Now with Christian Wood, you got him stretching all over the floor. I think it just opens it up for Blake Griffin even more.
Yeah.
And it's huge.
It's going to take some time, but I think in the end it's going to work out well for the Pistons that they're not just reliant on Blake Griffin. They need to allow their other guys, their younger guys, to get themselves involved, because you don't want the same issues that you had last year. You don't want Blake worn down by the time the playoffs come around for when you actually need Blake to kind of go into that, all right, put the backpack on, we need you to be the guy, when he's going to be capable of doing that. You don't want him playing on one leg.
Mm-hmm.
So this all is a recipe for success if the Pistons are able to turn their season around, because they're 7-13 right now and drop back-to-back games to the Charlotte fucking Hornets.
All right. Language.
No, but you're right. You're absolutely right. And I do think Blake is going to keep getting better as the year goes on. But what is so huge for him is something you just mentioned. And it's not just, okay, everyone get on my back. I'm going to try to carry us all the way to this win. It's now, here, Luke, you take some of the weight. All right, Bruce, you can take a little bit of the weight. Dre, you're taking some of the weight. It can be passed around now.
Right.
It's not just, all right, give it to Blake and hope he scores. And if he doesn't, we're screwed. So, and that kind of chemistry is going to keep building throughout this year as Blake gets more into form. And I don't think you're going to see Blake be that 25-point-a-game guy anymore. I think he's going to be more around 18, 19 a game with, instead of like 4 or 5 assists, up to 7.
I'm okay.
He's
with
a
that.
Facilitator. He's a point forward. He's going to be up to 7 assists. Hell, he could get up to 8 assists because I think that's going to be more of his style. Now I'm facilitating. I'm not constantly having to look for a bucket, and eventually that's going to open up so much more for him.
And then he's going to have nights where he's going to have just open shots. He's going to have lanes.
He's going to have nights where he's going to put up 40. He's going to have those nights. But now that he's got a 20-point scorer, a legit 20-point scorer with him in Luke Kennard, and a guy like Bruce Brown who can take to the bucket and finish, and also is willing to pull up from three, huge. And Tony Snell, like you said, knocking down from the outside. He's got guys now. It's not just, all right, Blake,
do it.
I hope you get us there. And that is going to be crucial for when, if this team does make the playoffs, Blake does have to do that. He does have the energy. He does have the wherewithal to do it because he hasn't been worn out all season. He's like, all right, I got you guys now. Let's go.
So the Pistons sit at 7-13. At what point do we start really going, hey, what's the next step? Like, how many more games do the Pistons get before they have to make a decision as to whether they're all in or they're all out? Meaning, you know, is it 10 games from now? Is it 20 games from now that they have to make that decision of, we're going to push for the playoffs, or we're going to start unloading some guys and begin a restructure? It does not have to tank. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to tank and completely rebuild. You've got four pieces that you've talked about keeping for your future already. Bruce, Luke, Sekou, Christian Wood. You've got a guy in Jordan Bone in the future I think could be a nice backup point guard, right? You've got some other pieces in place. You're not stripping this whole thing down and need to find 12 new guys. You really need to find maybe one or two more real foundational pieces, and then the rest would just be depth building it out.
Yeah.
But how much more do they have before the Pistons have to make a decision? We're making a move to take a push and to get in, or we're making a move to unload, position ourselves nicely for the draft.
Just to reset.
And reset.
That's a reset.
Well, December 15th is the day where everyone becomes trade eligible that signed in the offseason. So that's a big date because, either way, whether you're trying to add a piece or start a rebuild or retool, whatever, you got to wait at least, a little bit, another 2 weeks until you can do that. But I think they'll probably wait a little bit longer than that, too. I think they're going to try to see where this goes. I don't think they're too keen on the idea of tearing it down or trading Blake, anything like that. I think they'd probably be more in tune to the idea of, going fishing and trying to bring in another star. No, not DeMar DeRozan, which I think we need to talk about because that's becoming more and more of a topic. But, they got to wait a few weeks either way, and, another 2 weeks of games gives the team a little bit more time to try to figure out some of the issues that they've had. And I think, the softer part of the schedule, even though they dropped those two games to Charlotte, they still have Cleveland coming up. Then the schedule starts to get a little bit tougher, but this is that opportunity for them to figure out some of those kinks because they can't play until, the trade deadline like they are right now, or the team will be forced to sell low and blow it up and just go from there.
I think you made a point when you said this front office is not keen on trading Blake Griffin, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think they're going to stretch it out as long as they can. I mean, as long as they can.
Yeah.
I would say a fair time would be beginning of January. I think maybe mid-January is as far as you can take it. If it's not working out, then hitting the reset button. But I really think they're going to stretch it out as long and as far as they can. And before they go for the reset, they're going to go fishing, like Aaron said. They're going to try to find another player that they can get without overspending who can complement this team and help them get to the playoffs.
They have 14 games between now and the end of December.
Yeah.
So sitting at 7-13, 14 games, and they've got some challenging.
Hey, they could be 21-13. They could be 21-13, and it's a whole different ballgame.
In those 14 games, you play Milwaukee, Indiana, Dallas, at Houston, Toronto, at Boston, Philly, and in Utah. I would say those are your tough games. You still also have Chicago, who you have lost to. You have them at home. You get to see Washington, hopefully a win. You've got to go to San Antonio. I know we just saw them kill San Antonio at home, but I'm not going to just, you know, look over that one like there's no big deal there. So actually get Washington twice in there. But you look at that. Milwaukee's a playoff team right now. Indiana's a playoff team right now. Dallas, I believe, is a playoff team in the West. Oh, yeah,
they're in the mix. Yeah. Luka Doncic.
Luka, absolutely.
You got Houston.
Ending LeBron's career. I'm kidding.
Ooh.
But that step back was pretty crazy.
Wow, he's just phenomenal.
He's awesome.
We could just I'm finally doing a 40-minute podcast time. Just praising Luka Doncic.
He's awesome. Anyway, go on, Brendan.
You got to play of your 14 games. 8 of those games are against a team that right now would be in the playoffs. So that's a tough December stretch, much like last year. The difference is last year the Pistons started hot and Aaron was like, oh my goodness, we might host a playoff series. And now it's like, oh, the Pistons are 7-13. And let's say we lose, you know, let's say of those 14 games, we go 7-7. And you're sitting at 14-20 going into the new year. How do you feel about that?
Not good.
How do you feel about that?
Not good. Not
like,
good.
And I think 7-7's a fair, like...
I think that's a little generous, but fair.
Isn't that a problem? Like, that's a problem.
And that's a problem.
If 7-7 is generous, it's a problem.
You're not getting me to argue. I'm not arguing that.
Right.
My argument is, I think the front office is going to stretch it as far as they can.
Sure, sure. I'm just saying, so speaking in terms of like, hey, how that front office should be thinking, if we're looking at the month of December, say if we go 7-7, that's pretty darn good. There's a major problem here.
You know what? Every team's gotta, if you're good, you gotta figure out a way to win ball games. I say that a lot, but it's true. The Pistons gotta find a way to pull off some upsets, to get some big wins, and maybe even do better than 7-7. Because if they're going into the new year 14-20, I don't really know how good you should be feeling.
My thing is, back to the point of stretching as far as you can, if they go 7-7 in that stretch and they're 14-20, I think the front office thinks, all right, we made it through that death schedule, 500. Pretty decent. We can take the next step. And they'll make that move to find that next player.
I agree.
I think that's where that's heading. For them to be like, okay, reset, it literally has to be like 2-12. In that stretch.
So then you get stuck at like, so let's say you go 5-9. What do you do?
What? I hit reset.
I do too.
I still don't think they do, my guy.
I hit reset at 7-7, to be honest. But, you know, at 5-9.
I don't.
I hope so.
I am convinced they want to stretch it as far as they can with Blake. Not really out of any sort of pride, because they're not the ones who brought Blake in.
Right.
I just think they like having him here as a leader, as a voice for the franchise. And I think they can find a way to win with him.
I'll tell you, they're desperate right now, this organization.
Oh, it is. It is desperate.
To bring out the Reds and just kind of do it. Like, it was a move of desperation.
Okay, wait. Where are you going with this?
I'm saying that the Pistons are begging to get any sort of positive attention. They're begging to get anybody they can into that arena. And they're trying to also, at the same time, get those guys in the locker room motivated in any way, shape, or form they can. And maybe it's just a new uniform. It's debuting the Reds. Which, by the way, my opinion, I'm not a fan. I love the red. I love red uniforms. I hate that blue stripe. The double stripe going down the middle.
For me, if the stripes were on the side, yes, it'd be a lot better.
I agree.
I don't mind the red. I don't mind the uniforms. I just think the stripes belong on the side.
I love the red. I wanted them to have that red. I'm a big fan of the red uniform. I just don't like. I hate the big blue stripe, the two of them going down the middle of the freaking jersey.
Okay,
should be on the side.
The first off, though, the jerseys are like planned, like before the year begins.
Not the date. Not when they were going to come out, though.
Yes,
that wasn't.
Yes,
I don't. I doubt
it was. I promise you. Yes, every jersey is planned before the season begins. what day you're going to wear them, what color versus what team. Like, all of that is planned before the season begins.
It's coordinated.
So they know now?
They knew they were debuting.
They know every day they're wearing each jersey the rest of the year. The home whites, the city reds, the away blues, whatever. They know what they're wearing the rest of the year. Promise you. It's fact.
Well, that's shitty.
They knew when they were debuting those rights. Like, that was all coordinated.
I will say, I hated them at first. Don't hate them as much as after seeing them on TV. I still don't love them. I don't even know if I like them, but I don't hate them the way I did when they first came out.
Yeah, I don't
get
don't
the
like
stripes
them.
On the side. That's yeah. all. That I mean, that's literally it. The stripes on the that side compared to down better. The middle, I would be like, these are the best jerseys in the game. Literally. Just put the stripes on the side, not down the middle. That's all.
Yeah,
that's all.
It's just
there's something about those stripes down the middle. I'm just like,
just too much. It's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know.
But anyway, real quick, Aaron, where are you at with it? The reset, the push, you know, 7-7, 5-9. Like, what do you think?
I'm all for a reset. I'm all for it. Now, if a trade comes up where you can get a big time player, again, not DeMar DeRozan, but you can get a big time player, then fine. As long as you're not selling Sekou, Luke, Bruce, two first, and all that, you know, together.
The thing is about a big player, if you're going to go get a big player, someone has to be sacrificed.
Right. Someone has to be sacrificed.
Are we willing to part ways with Luke or Sekou?
See, I don't even think the Pistons should be parting with Luke the way he's playing. Luke is playing. part of like the right now core, like the winning core.
I know.
So I don't even know if they should be looking to part with
Sekou. I know.
Luke.
That's someone who's part of both. He's part of the win now core and the build for the future core. That's a guy, can you give him up right now? I don't like to think any guy's untouchable, but...
So I guess it's about who are you really bringing back.
Especially when he's not, you know, a perennial all-star. I mean, could Luke work his way to that? Sure, maybe. I don't know. But he's not right now. And are you going to mark a guy who's not even a perennial all-star as untouchable?
Right. Yeah, so I'm very much okay with the Pistons resetting. They're 7-13. They can't beat the Charlotte Hornets. You know, they're inconsistent. They have a lot of defensive issues. They turn the ball over like a bad team. Bad teams turn the ball over. The Pistons turn the ball over a lot. They have a lot of issues. And I said they needed to have a very strong next five games to kind of right the ship a little bit. And they dropped two back-to-back to Charlotte. That didn't convince me. They still have Cleveland, and then they got to get through the rest of December, which, again, we talked about it. It's pretty tough. Eight or so playoff potential teams that they're going up against. So they either got to have like a really good month, or I'm still going to be saying that they need to be ready to blow it up.
All right, so that's where you are. Where's the front office in your opinion?
The front office is definitely looking to make a move to add to this team and head towards the playoffs. There's no doubt in my mind that that's where they're thinking. They have a win-now style coach in Dwayne Casey. They have a win-now desired owner in Tom Gores. And Ed Stefanski's certainly not a guy that wants to start a rebuild.
If that's the case, which I feel like it is too, and I feel like they'll stretch it as long as they can, the move literally has to be done like right after December 15th. Like, December 15th, they have to be on the phone looking to absolutely get a deal done. Absolutely get a deal done.
Do either of you guys want DeMar DeRozan?
No.
Okay. No. Not
resounding no.
Good. Very, very good. Because the Pistons should not be going after DeMar DeRozan. I'm not excited that people are talking about it like they should be. He does not fit this team whatsoever. DeMar DeRozan does not shoot, does not make three-pointers. The Pistons need their wings to be three-point shot makers, considering the rest of their lineup alignment in a point guard that he's getting better as a shooter, but he's not a high-volume shooter. Blake likes to operate in the post. Yes, he can shoot, and Andre's a post player. You don't want to sacrifice Tony Snell's starting spot, Luke Kennard's starting spot, for DeMar DeRozan, who is going to want to isolate more, bring the ball in the post, and clog up a paint that already is clogged up enough. It just would be a terrible, terrible move, especially considering you would have to believe that Detroit would have to give up something of real value to get him.
I mean, yeah, I agree with your points. It's who are you willing, who do you want to get for the value you have to give up? Because, I mean, if you're making a win now move and you're trying to bring in a star, you're going to be parting ways with Sekou, maybe Luke, a Bruce. I don't know. You're parting ways with someone and some picks.
And that would be terrible.
And I don't like that. I don't know. It doesn't sit well with me.
It sucks because I'm so far opposite of where the front office is, I'm sure, right now, in terms of their mindset on where this organization, this team should go. It's just, the Pistons are so far away from ever doing anything of true contention that it's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? It's frustrating. Week in and week out, we come on and we talk about the team, and we talk about positives, we talk about probably some negatives, we talk about, you know, potential here, and at the end of the day, all we're doing is sitting in purgatory. That's all we're doing. We're not, you know, at the bottom of the league with no hope for the future, like where Brooklyn was several years back when they traded away all their picks and they were terrible and they just lost and did not get a draft pick to recover from it. Like, we're not in that state, but we're certainly not at a level where we feel like, hey, yeah, this team can go out and compete for the Eastern Conference title. I don't even feel this team could compete in the playoff series right now. And I didn't say win. I said compete in. They're bad. They're a bad team right now.
And that's not false, because there are going to be people that saying, oh, you're just hating, like you're a hater. That is not false. They are 7-13.
You are what your record says you are. That's an old cliche, but that's the truest of them all.
Yeah,
you like, are what your record says you are.
Especially when you have losses to Charlotte, what, three times?
Three losses
to Charlotte.
Atlanta once, Bulls twice?
Two Bulls losses.
There's five losses right there to horrible teams. The Hawks lost by 60 points the other day. 60 points. Or we're down by 60 at one point. Whatever. It's not like they went out and lost to, you know, Houston, the Clippers, the Lakers. Like, they haven't even gotten to those West Coast matchups mm-hmm. yet. They have not gotten to the behemoth that is the West Coast. They are losing to subpar teams in the Eastern Conference.
What sucks about all this is, again, I think I made this point earlier, I'll make it again. The Pistons don't have to completely tank. Like, they don't need to go on another five-year hiatus of being the worst team in basketball. Even if they sell low on a guy like Andre to just move that money, or you sell low on a guy like Reggie just to get something in return and move him off the books.
I don't think anyone's taking Reggie right now, by the way.
Well, seriously.
The Pistons don't even know when he's getting on the court.
But the point is, you don't have to get a mega return to be able to just say, you turn the page. And Dre can be a real good player in this league, and I know it wasn't that long ago they were talking about, like, damn, you see how good Dre's playing. This is what we've needed. This is what we've needed to see. This is what he's needed to do. I just don't think the fit is in Detroit long term. It's just not. Detroit has a true need for an elite wing. An elite wing. And the first thing you have to have in this league is an elite wing if you want to be successful. You look at every team that's in the playoff mix, they have an elite wing. At least contending in the playoff mix, you know?
That's what the league is now, though. Wings. It's about wing players.
And you've got a real nice wing piece in Luke Kennard. You get a strong, athletic, shoot the ball, drive to the rim. I mean, you could get whatever style, but you get a strong elite wing to pair with Luke. And then eventually Sekou develops. A Luke, name that wing, and Sekou, 2-3-4 punch. With the way you're expecting
your three wings.
Your three wings, essentially. With the way we're hoping and projecting Sekou to develop, that right there is what's going to be good enough to have you compete in the Eastern Conference. And hopefully you put the pieces around it to compete for a title.
You have to be thinking the big picture here. We've tried the Reggie, we've tried the Blake, we've tried the Andre train, and it's just, it's not going anywhere. It's just not going anywhere.
There's nothing wrong with taking a step back as an organization in a front office and being like, hey, we tried, we gave it a great effort, we made the moves, we looked for moves, we went and did our thing, and it just didn't work. Mm-hmm. We need to take a step back and reset.
And
there's nothing wrong with
that. The Stefanski front office staff, they aren't the ones that, you know, made the move for Blake. They aren't the ones that gave Reggie an extension. They aren't the, like, they will be the front office, though, that re-signs Dre if they are to do so. They'd be the front office that if they go out and they trade a young piece away to bring in a guy like DeMar DeRozan, that would be a stain on them as a staff. They have a chance right now to say, listen, we've tried to make minor moves and strategically draft to benefit us down the road while trying to make the best we can of this situation. We have an opportunity to move forward, and even if it takes 2 years to get back to the playoffs, we feel that we have the young pieces in place and some flexibility and some draft picks potentially and some guys we could trade to land us in a spot 2 years from now to be 2-3 steps ahead of where we currently are. With a younger core, with a higher ceiling, with hopefully a better potential.
It's a nice dream. It's a nice outlook.
Right.
But is that where this is headed?
No, I know it's not.
I know. I get that. Just pleading. I know you're pleading.
I wish I could go in front of them and like plead like we were in freaking court. And I could just give my case. Because dang it all, it's so frustrating.
It's going to be so sad when they trade for DeMar DeRozan. It's going to be so sad.
Just seeing what they give up for DeMar.
Well, and that's the thing.
That's what's going
to
hurt.
What? If you don't have to give up a ton, then I guess whatever, but you're going to give up something, and then it's going to cost somebody in that starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to cost Luke? I don't want it then.
It's going to cost Tony Snell, and your spacing goes to hell because you have three guys that don't take high-volume three-pointers.
If nothing else, Tony Snell provides great, great space on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he actually shoots, like, he makes it. He's not going to take 10 shots a night. He's going to take 4, 5, 6. When he shoots it, though, there's a high chance that it goes in. And that's what matters. That means defenses can't go out or can't sag in and leave Tony Snell alone, because that'll do what he did in that one game earlier in the year when he went like 9 of 9 from the field and had 27 points.
It's a great dream and it's a great thought, and I agree with the premise. You're not going to get me fighting you on it. But I believe this front office wants to see what it can do with Blake Griffin.
Oh, they do.
They didn't bring him in, but they inherited him. And Blake Griffin is just one of those guys that he's a star. We got to see if we can get him something. We got to see if we can work with him and around him. We have to do everything we can. And that's where they're at.
Well, 7-13. That's where we stand. The Pistons begin kind of a tough stretch here through December. Yeah, they got a nice winnable game versus Cleveland coming up. After that, you get Milwaukee, you get Indiana, you let that road get a little tough. We'll see what they can do. So I don't know, boys, anything else you want to add before we kind of wrap up for the week? I mean, kind of touched on several different topics.
Luke Kennard's been balling. Bruce Brown's getting better each and every game. Really excited about the backcourt between those two. And since Ryan tooted his horn at the beginning of the podcast, I'm going to toot mine now. I talked in the offseason. I fought with you guys in the offseason over Bruce Brown being a point guard and that he's going to get minutes and he should be getting minutes in point guard. And now he is a starting point guard for the Pistons and he is playing exceptionally well and has cemented himself as a guy that deserves a look to be this team's point guard of the future. So I'm tooting my horn on that. Bruce Brown and Luke Kennard, the backcourt of the future. We talk about how, you know, Bruce and Luke are great. But how are you going to play them both on the wing together when they're both 6'5"? And now you don't have to, which is awesome.
Ryan, anything you'd like to add?
We'll see what happens in December. We'll see what happens in December.
All I'm going to finish that with, Aaron, is at least when Ryan was tuning his and my horn, it was because what we said had basis, a full, thorough explanation, and was 100% accurate from the start. What you said was a gamble based off summer league, what you saw. Yes, it's worked out.
Stop. But it also was based off what the team said of how they wanted to get Bruce Brown to play point guard, and they wanted to give him an opportunity to develop as a point guard.
Hold on.
It was based off a gamble of how Bruce Brown played it in summer league. It was based off fact as well that the team wanted him to be
You had never seen it done in the regular season, and you said it. And your premise was not as strong as Ryan and my premise on the Christian Wood take. That's all I was saying.
And that's wrong, though. It's not like you saw Don Maker and Christian Wood battle for minutes in the regular season.
We didn't talk about them battling for minutes. No, we said that Don Maker will play his way out, and Dwayne Casey is going to have to manage a locker room and egos exactly like he did. So I'll leave it on that note. Before you go, be sure to like, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Palace of Pistons, Aaron at his personal, A. Johnson NBA, myself at Media Brendan, Ryan at Ryan Pay. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Podbean, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, you name it, we're there. So show us some love and bring some energy. Hopefully energy like the Pistons brought versus the Spurs. So until next time. We'll see you here on the Palace Pistons Podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.